We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. That's Shereen. It's not the sound of your grandparents' Celtic music, although it certainly incorporates that tradition. But his mix of fiddle tunes, hip-hop, overdubs, and house is unique in the world of Celtic music.
Shereen is Jay Andrews, originally from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and now based in Toronto. He arrived in the studio with a laptop and some headphones. His musical partner, Carrie Fitzgerald, brought the fiddle, the traditional instrument, in the mix. Here they are with Shereen's original tune, Hello World. In the studio, Jay and Carrie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it is great to have you here because this is such a great mix of Celtic music and all kinds of other more, I'd say more modern stuff, you know, that the kids are listening to, that I'm certainly... On the YouTube, on that computer thing, yeah. And so it's just great to have you here. I assume that the stage show is bigger. You got a few more people that are part of it, or is it just the two of you?
No, not always. Sometimes we have dancers, though.
Okay.
Like while we're here in Milwaukee, we'll get dancers up
cool.
from local dance groups and stuff. Yeah.
But that's great.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
So how did this come about? I mean, what made you decide this is how you wanted to express Celtic music?
I don't know. I grew up on the east coast of Canada, you know, Nova Scotia, and I kind of grew up playing in pipe bands, so that's kind of how I got introduced to, like, tunes and whatnot. I was playing drums, but and I always just kind of listened to it, you know. So I'd listen to Celtic stuff, but I also listened to whatever, hip hop and house, and you know what I mean, whatever everybody else is listening to. So it wasn't until, like, I don't know, probably 6 years ago, they started messing with them a little bit more
to see if it could work together.
Yeah. Like, I started, but it took a long time to kind of figure out how I was going to make it. Like, to make it fit. It took a lot of testing, if you will, you know?
So what were some of the problems? Where didn't it overlay easily?
I mean, I find some tunes just don't work. You know what I mean? I'm not really sure why that is, but it's just some tunes don't seem to sit in beats as well. And I usually write two ways. I usually write by producing a demo first and then getting a player to write over it and then finishing the piece. Or I take a tune just raw, and then I write to that tune. So that was one thing, you know. And then I had to find my sound. You know, I didn't really want to copy people. Not that there's, I mean, there's a lot of people who have done, like, electronic Celtic stuff, but I wanted to make it a little bit more modern and contemporary in the sounds and how hard it hits and whatnot.
Right. And a lot of people actually from Nova Scotia do a lot of electronic Celtic stuff. I'm thinking of Ashley McIsaac is a great example of that. But there's a lot of other people. I mean, Colin Grant does, like, jazz-infused stuff. Mm-hmm. And so Nova Scotia seems to be a great melting pot for that kind of experimentation. And
it seems to be, like, coming that way, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that you say it, yeah.
Yeah, because really it's like, well, it's so many great musicians coming out of there, very firmly rooted in the trad, but then taking it in all kinds of interesting directions.
Right.
And this sat right, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to get you guys in, because this sits right in that new tradition of taking it in new places mm-hmm. and figuring out ways of reaching a young audience,
right?
You know, with hearkening back, but also looking forward.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of people in Nova Scotia doing a lot of different type of things, you know? Even not so much with traditional music, too. there's a lot of electronic music in Halifax right now, like a lot. And it's really good.
That's great. You know, and there's also good hard rock coming out. I mean, the Trues
I'm
a big favorite fan of theirs.
Different genres, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, and Carrie, how did you get involved?
Well, I guess I grew up in a family playing traditional music as well, so from a traditional music background. And then I guess after university, I was starting to get into electronic. Really was never into that electronic pop kind of stuff. And I wanted to learn how to make that kind of music. So I actually met Jay in Toronto, and I was first inquiring about actually getting a lesson with him about this stuff. And anyways, nothing ever came of it, really. And then about maybe a year later, we realized we were actually living like a block apart, and Jay needed a fiddler on his tracks. So we ended up working together as fiddling for him.
And so do you feel like you've started learning what you were hoping to do in the first place?
Yeah, it's definitely inspired me to get. I'm still just kind of learning as time allows, which is not a lot of time. But Jay's been Jay's been helping out a lot for sure.
She's Carrie just put out her own first solo thing too, which is a little bit. I helped co-produce it. It's kind of like, it's electronic stuff, but it's a little more like vibey. It's a little more like Imogen Heap, I'd say, maybe. Imogen Heap, that kind of route, you know, with a lot of melodic lines, because Carrie plays piano and stuff too, so.
Yeah. Was it hard for you to figure out how to find your voice within, you know, the tracks that are already laid down and how to layer in what you're doing? Because you're live, that's already recorded, and so, you know, there's that interesting mix too.
Yeah. I mean, some of the pieces Jay's already, he had recorded with other fiddlers before. Like he does work with a wide variety of fiddlers. So there was already the tunes there. So I just had to learn them. And then a couple I wrote for. And I find them pretty easy to write over because there's a lot, I don't know.
There's a lot dictated, I think, when you
get
them.
Yeah, it's pretty, like, I kind of, some of them I would just send a bunch of ideas to Jay and he's kind of a quick yes or no. Like, it's just whether or not it's the vibe he's going for. So I just kind of throw out a bunch of ideas for melodies over top of what he's already made, and usually one of them is doable by the end after a bunch of texts back and forth.
Yeah.
And so how does it work in concert? Because, you know, a lot of times when you're live, there's improv, particularly in this kind of music in a more traditional sense. So is there room for that? Do you have it kind of built in where if you want to keep going with it, You can somehow adjust on the fly?
We play sets like anybody else would. The thing about the stream show is it doesn't stop. Like, there's no breaks between songs. But one of the reasons that I like to keep it just two people is because that way we do have that a little bit of movement. If I start adding too many people, it's like I've done shows with symphonies before, and it's like you can't really change anything. Do you know what I mean?
It's fixed.
It's fixed. Yeah. It's the way it is. So, I like to have it small, and then, you know, like Carrie really knows the music well, so we can move it a little bit more. It's a lot more fun for us because if it's too fixed and you're playing like this weekend, we have to play four or five shows in a row. It's not really like it gets too fixed. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of try to keep it that way because I have done a lot of shows that are fixed like that before. And with the tracks, yeah, I mean, once you're into a track, you're kind of into it. But we can definitely move them around, and we do play around a little bit. I run Carrie through a live effects board live, too. So I can affect her fiddle like a bunch of different ways live and loop it live.
Okay. Yeah. So that's something we're not hearing today. It's just straight up today.
We're just straight, right now.
But when we hear you at Irish Fest, it's going to have that. Oh, that's going to
be
cool.
You can. I can do a bunch of different things to her fiddle live. Cool. So that stuff we kind of improv and mess around
with. See how you feel at the time.
Yeah, and Carrie's a dancer, too. So we improv like beatbox dance stuff.
I can't wait. I can't wait. You know, we're getting as we were talking before we turned on the microphones, we're getting the sit down version in the Lake Effect Studio.
Intimate and interactive. Exactly.
But once we get it on stage, it's going to be fantastic. You know, to see all of the elements come together. But I want to hear more music.
Sure.
So what is the next thing you're going to play for us?
We're going to do some polkas here that was from my first record. And this was originally co-produced by with a friend named Cam Smith, who's a hip-hop producer from Halifax. Yeah, so it's a set of polkas.
Which is perfect for Milwaukee.
Is it?
Polka is like king here.
Oh, really?
A lot of Germans and Poles. Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to play this twice tonight.
Yes.
All right, let's give it a run.
Fun. That is fun. That's Shreem here in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Jay and Carrie, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Some polkas. Perfect, as I said before the song, perfect for Milwaukee. Because, we are a polka town.
Awesome.
Yeah, lots of beer and polka. And,
right, yep, right, right.
Exactly. When you first started doing this mix-up, what was the reaction? Were you having trouble getting booked into places like Irish Fest? Were they kind of going, what are you doing?
I don't know. I think my manager's laughing over in the corner. I think with anything that you do that's very new, there's going to be two sides to it, you know? But that's fine. I think people like what they like and don't like what they don't like. That's up to them, you know? I don't think so much like a hard time booking. I feel like people are pretty open-minded for the most part, you know? So... it's fun playing live shows because it's very different from other things that are happening because it's more of like an energetic kind of nonstop party thing. No, I haven't really, mostly like, you know, people support. I've had like a lot of players be very interested, which is nice because I like working with different people. So,
because yeah. That adds to the mix too. Yeah,
it does. And I now I'm trying to, like on my next record, I'm trying to give people, I gave the players a lot more room. You know what I mean? Like, I want people to feel like they have room to create where I'm not so much just dictating to them what to do. I feel it makes, like, a more organic kind of feel to the music.
Do you work with people other than fiddlers, musicians other than fiddlers, or is that mostly?
Mostly fiddle. There's bagpipe stuff too on my next one. I have a bagpiper named Kenneth McKenzie from Cape Breton. I'm just trying to think of the new record. I just work with I tried to span out the fiddlers, so I got a track with Tim Chasson from the East Pointers.
They were here last year.
Oh, were they?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
In the studio?
I couldn't get them in. They didn't get in time. We tried, I went to hear them.
Those are good friends of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good dudes. So, yeah, there's some bagpipe stuff. I used some banjo on my first record, too, from Seth Peters.
Who has also been in the studio a couple of times.
Has he?
With Mary Jane and Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're here this week, Mary Jane and Wendy, too. Yeah,
yeah, can't wait to see them,
I know,
too.
I've been playing with Wendy for years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about the whole Nova Scotian Cape Breton group is that you're all friends and you all know each other and mm-hmm. families grew up together. And so everybody's doing their own thing, but you all kind of come back around.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Shannon Quinn's on my first record too.
Really?
And she's here this week.
Yeah. Yeah. She was on my list to try to get in, but we couldn't make the connection happen.
Yeah. Man, we should have called her. She could have come down a track with us.
That would have been great.
Yeah, yeah. She's a really good friend of mine, Shannon.
Yeah, and I'm always excited when they focus on Nova Scotia and the East Coast because there are so many different interesting people who come in and are doing, you know, new things, old things, a mix of things.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's also a very beautiful part of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. It's one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, Cape Breton's unreal.
It is unreal. Yeah. It's like I've landed on a different planet.
Yeah, it really is. I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to put a tune together? Like what we just heard? How many days, weeks, you know?
Oh, geez.
Minutes.
I mean, for the players, I don't think it's that bad, really. Because I get a lot of players to send me a bunch of different things. But they usually do that in a session, you know?
Okay.
And sometimes I'll use the scratch tracks because I find in the recording process when people are just writing down ideas, like you get some of the best stuff. On my end, it just depends on the piece and how crazy I'm going to drive myself nuts doing it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm looking at the back of your computer here, but how many tracks are you looking at?
Oh, a live show essentially is like, I think a full live show is like 27 songs or something. Songs have multiple tunes in them. And I also take, this is kind of not the best for players, but I'll take different parts from different tunes and I'll put them in different sections. So people have to relearn the parts as if it was a new tune. Like I have
so
a French.
Frustrating.
I have a French.
You're frustrated.
I have a French tune here that's actually in like 7 or something that I cut into 4. And it's put over a reggae beat. So it's like...
As you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
So that one, like, people kind of... They're just like, do we have to do that one? It's just like, well...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You do.
But since the show doesn't stop, you have to... It takes more songs.
Right. You have to keep going. Yeah. You know, people might have 12 or 14 songs if they're doing an hour and a half set, but you have to have double that.
Yeah. And then there's, like, interludes for songs and things like that, too.
So no costume changes, so you don't have to worry about that.
No costume changes. No time.
No time
for that.
Okay, so for the song that you're gonna take us out with, Something to Say, mm-hmm. how long did that one take to get into the form we're gonna hear?
You wrote the first tune in this, right?
The second tune in this.
Yeah. This one wasn't too bad, I don't think. This one's a little bit jazzier, kind of a house feel, especially on the second half. I have a vocalist from PEI named Megan Blanchard. I don't know if you've heard of her. But
don't know her.
So she recorded some stuff in PEI and sent that over to me. So that took a little bit longer. And then I cut up her vocals and stuff. But I don't know. We like playing this one, I think. Yeah. And my manager really likes this one. It's very dancey on the second half. So this is an example of two different tunes with a bunch of samples cut up in it. And it's just kind of madness.
And we will hear that during your set.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we play this one twice.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you heard it here first on Lake Effect. But before we get into the tune, I want to thank you both so much for getting off the plane and coming over.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's been great. We'll be right back.
Shereem takes us out with their tune, Something to Say. Shereem is Jay Andrews. He's joined by fiddler Carrie Fitzgerald. They'll perform at Irish Fest all weekend, and they promise it will be one big Celtic remix dance party. You can find out more at wuwm.com.